You're listening to TPV Virtual Radio. It's live right now on the Psalmist Voice of the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. You're listening to the hottest, most off-controversial, off-the-meters Christian radio station in the land. The Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Are you ready to walk, family? Let's go! It's the two-time Stellar Award considered, Spin Award nominated. You're listening to The Voice.
To The Voice.
The Psalmist Voice Radio Network.
Hey, what's good, family? This is Jokia, and you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. Walk with me, family. Let's go.
What's good, radio family? TPV Radio is just getting hotter, and we have an all-star lineup just for you. Mondays, Conversations with Joe and Jay at 7:30 a.m. Tuesdays, Victory Over the Weights of Life with author Deanne Lebrine at 6 p.m. Wednesdays, Illuminating Word Ministries with Dr. Apostle Forrest L. Walker Sr. at 5 p.m. Thursdays, Real Talk with Pastor Byron Sago at 4:30 p.m. Also, Dorothy Patterson, the reality coach, at 6 p.m. Fridays, the exclusive interview with yours truly, the Psalmist Voice, by appointment only. Saturdays is Saturdays Refet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones at 11 a.m., followed by the Locker Room with Coach D at 4 p.m. Sundays, TPV Reloaded at 2 p.m. with the Familia. Catch all of TPV Radio programming on Facebook Live at TPV Radio. Also, Live 365, tune in, and all of our podcast social media platforms. Walk with us in relationship, purpose, and promise. And let's go!
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Apostle Sharita Lovelace of the Triumphant Show, and you're listening to the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. So, are you ready? Are you set? Well, let's go.
You never heard Christian radio quite like this. Get your fix 24/7 on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. The Spin Award nominated Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones right now on TPV Radio.
There was a time I truly believed that I could do it on my own. But all that I found at the end of that road is that concept for me was all wrong. But I found a Savior who turned me around, and He placed His love on me, and I will trust Him, yeah. Thank you.
the Spin Award nominated Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown and Roberta Jones right now on TPV Radio.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, good afternoon. Hey, Pastor Chris.
Hello, how are you?
I can't complain. I love the song that you started us off with today. The name of the Lord. Yeah,
yes,
I
ma'am.
Love that. That's a beautiful song. That's Fred Hammond, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, he's always had an amazing voice to me. He's gotten to the place where he's kind of, you know, took a step back, but he's really an awesome artist. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Trust in the name of the Lord. I ponder that thought when you talk about trusting in the name of the Lord, and you look at everyday life. There's so many things that come against that trust factor in your life. So many times you can be standing on what we feel like is solid ground and a solid foundation, and things can come along and happen so quickly in our life that it will cause us to lose our way, and we don't our footing is not as sure as we thought. You know what I'm saying? Life happens to us sometimes abruptly, and being rooted and grounded is a real thing. The kids always say, it's a thing. It's a real thing. Or when you want to talk about being rooted and grounded. And whatever you're rooted and grounded in, you'll see when tragedy happens, whether it's going to harm you or not. And
sure.
That's real shit because when we consider some of the devastations that we face in our life now, dealing with this corona factor, dealing with the fear that America has found itself in, We kind of better know in whom we put our trust.
Uh-oh. You're going into the matrix.
It's been a piece of wood floating in the water has turned out to be an alligator. And you know what? He's hungry. And he's going to eat us alive if we don't get somewhere and sit down and find out what we need to be doing with our life. But anywho. Hey, Sister Roberta.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
How are you today? Probably a little tired from all the cooking you've been doing, huh?
Uh-huh. Yes, I am. Amen.
Sister Roberta, you hear what I was saying when I was first came on about how sometimes in our life we can really feel solid, and then some things happen and we kind of fall apart. But it's a temporary fall apart, because once you're rooted and grounded in God for real, you go so far, and then you bounce back.
Yeah, he brings you back. He brings you back.
He brings you back. Holy Spirit is amazing at what he does. Sometimes you'd be like, what in the world is going on in my life? And then it all comes full circle, and you be like, wow, God, I ain't see that coming. And I know you've had many wild moments in your life.
Every day, a wild moment.
You know what, Sister Roberta, I'm interested to see what has gone on at the workforce. You know, you and I, we don't do a lot of that. But we got somebody on here that works, and usually whatever we talking about, they got a story to tell us about it. Hey, Sister Chief.
Happy Saturday to you guys. How are you?
Hey. Can you tell us anything about trust? Anything happened at work this week?
He is yet faithful. He is yet faithful. He has not failed me yet. So when it comes to trust, he's all I got. And the only hope that I have is my trust in him.
That's true. So what do you think about that, Tree? You know, have you ever been to that place where you felt solid and then life happened and it felt a little shaky, but God always brings us back to where we need to be, but it's a scary ride for a few minutes.
Absolutely. That's the human factor of it, but We can't get caught up in the human factor of it. We have to stay anchored in him and just
That's right.
You know, things are going to happen, but do you trust him to bring you through them?
Mm-hmm. You know, I made a mistake one time, just to let somebody talk me into getting on a roller coaster.
Mm.
I kept telling them, I don't like roller coasters, and they kept on, oh, come on, why? You know they how people do you. And I let peer pressure get to me. And I got on that roller coaster, and baby, I promised God and the devil if he was standing around, I said, when I get off of here, you ain't never got to worry about me no more. I ain't getting back on here. That was a terrible, that was a terrible ride. And it's about holding your hands up in the air and holler. I had the holler part right, but I wasn't letting go of that bar. I ain't holding my hand nowhere. But I asked Pastor Chris to share a scripture from his Bible. What's that, the Living Bible, Pastor Chris?
No, I'm reading from the Amplified, but I usually go with the Passion Translation. But the Passion Translation only has New Testament. So Job is in the Old Testament, so we can go from there. So we're going to start
read that, Job.
Yeah, Job chapter 13, verse 15.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Well, it reads, even though he kills me, I will hope in him. Nevertheless, I will argue my ways to his face. Uh-oh.
Hmm. It kind of sounds like us. Kind of sounds like us wanting to negotiate with God Almighty about what he has decided to do in our lives.
That's just crazy.
The trust part of that scripture is what I dearly reach for. He's saying, in some translations, it said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you.
Trust him.
And I believe that that is where we have to be in this hour of so much going on. I hate to hear my phone ring now. You know, it used to be your phone rang, you'd be glad to jibber-jabber. But now, when your phone rang, it's like, what has happened now? Am I the only one feel that the way, Sister Roberta, do you have any encounters like that?
Oh, yes. Your heart just skips a beat when the phone rings. It's, oh, what's the bad news? Because it seems like it's so much bad news that's coming, you know.
Yep.
Okay, but you know, what Job says is powerful, you know, and Job was getting bad news after bad news. After bad news, even his good news was bad news. And he had to turn to God and say, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Yet will I rely
no matter what
on
you allow to happen to me.
Yet will I get, you know, yet will I pull my strength from you. Yet will I look for security in you. Yet will I be confident to have the answer. Yet will I expect something from you. You know, that's basically what he was saying. No. We, you know, I'm a thing, I'm a hurt, I'm a cry, I'm a thump, I'm a yell, I'm a, but I'm a trust you. My trust don't remain in you. It's the remain in you, you know, because you have, you're the truth. You're the truth.
Man.
Yep. You know, so see, there's a word in the Bible, and your mama, she can't remember how she said it. Boy, I could bite her on her ankle for that. There's a word in the Bible. She broke that word down to me one day, and it was like you could just see heaven open up. That word is refuge. I love that word. I love that word. Refuge means a lot more than just having a safe place. It goes above and beyond that. And she can't, for the life of her, go back and put that word in right perspective like she did that day. But, Sister Tree, when you think about the word refuge, the safety of being in God, the safety of being in God, being in some situations where danger was all around and you could kind of sense that, but he never allowed it to come nigh you. You got a favorite word in the Bible, Sister Tree? Mine is refuge.
Oh, goodness. I have a lot of words that are near and dear to me, but when
when we think about refuge and that safety net, if you've ever been running through a storm, got caught outside where the rain just started falling and you had no umbrella, you know, when I think of a refuge, this is what I think of. You had no umbrella and you run and then you get under some type of awning or some type of cover. Then you feel like, whew, I can breathe. But when you were out there in that storm and that rain, you felt out of place because you had no cover. So when I think of refuge, that's what I think of, just getting somewhere where you feel covered. And when we think about it as it relates to trusting God, you know, that thing, whatever it is that you get under, you trust that it is going to protect you from whatever is going on outside of the covering. So when it comes to our spiritual walk, it's just that, you know, as it relates to even the scripture, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. No matter what's going on around me, if I can just get up under your covering, if I can just get in the safety net of you, I know that everything is going to be all right. So that is what I think about when I think about refuge.
That's good talk. Sister Roberta, you came up with that definition that day, and I bet you, I know you remember we talked about it, and I know you remember I really wasn't really intrigued about what you said. I'm going to see if this a day. Can you recall any of the stuff that you said about refuge that day?
Refuge is like a fortress, a city that, have you seen, you know, we watch cowboy and Indians, the cowboy always tried to get to that place of safety, that where those doors are open, and once they get in, they didn't worry about the enemies, the Indians that was coming behind them. And somehow or another, they always made it in. So that refuge is that fortress, that place that can accommodate you in any circumstance. So Jonah said, don't you slay me. I'm being slain. I'm being cut up. But I'm going to trust you. So that no matter what's going on around me, I know you can accommodate me in my pain, in my losses, in my finance, in my health, whatever it is, in my relationship, that you have whatever I need to accommodate me and make me comfortable. You know, even in the pain, that I can be comfortable, because, you know, when you go to a hotel and they mess up your room and they say, we will accommodate you. And most of the time, the accommodation is an upgrade.
Yep.
It's upgrade. So you get an upgrade. And Job was the accommodation of his upgrade was greater than what he had before. So the accommodation that God gives is always an upgrade. It's always higher than what you've lost or what you think you can hold on to. I was thinking on trust today, and I was walking down the stairs. And walking down the stairs, my foot kind of slipped. And I, you know, and what God was showing me, he said, when your foot slips, the first thing you try to do is try to break the fall. Protect yourself. He said, but the trust allow you to just fall and relax, because everything else is said. You don't worry about the hurt. You don't worry about it. You don't worry about if you're going to hurt yourself. You don't worry about, to break the fall. But the trust God is to just let go, let it all go, and just fall in his arms, in his safety.
Sister Roberta, that is a lesson right there, that lesson you just spoke. That needs to be taught to the baby Christian, because we fail to teach about that trust and that reliance on fully on God. And what happens is we come into church and we think everything is rosy. I thought everything was rosy when I came out of them streets. But I came into church and I encountered a war. Because the enemy now is fighting me, because I no longer want to partake in the things that I was doing. and I'm in this battle, but I'm not equipped. I'm being shot at, and I'm standing there just like an ignorant person would do. I'm asking the rest of the soldiers, why they shooting at me? I didn't do nothing. I just can't. What is really going on? And they're trying to say, get down and shoot back. I don't know how to shoot. Nobody gave me any instructions on how to use my weapon. And it's a weapon of mass destruction that I'm ignorant as a box of rocks. So don't you believe that that's a lesson right there of how to trust God and rely on him is something that we need to put more energy behind in our churches?
Oh, yes. Oh,
definitely. Oh, I know Pastor Chris, when it came out of my mouth,
Chris,
I felt
on,
that.
Pastor Chris, hey, look at Pastor Chris, come on. Come on, Pastor Chris. Go ahead.
You're going to let him say something. Bert, you're going to let him say something. Hey, here you go. Here you go.
See, I'm trying to be good today. I say that all the time, but y'all set me up every single time. So I'm just going to get it started. So, yeah, that's the problem. See, we do not have the basic core settings for us to combat the battle that we have to go through as believers. Oh, we sure know how to dress. Oh, we sure know how to wear that nice makeup and them red bottom shoes, them gaiters and them nice $3,000 suits. We also know how to give our tie to sit in the VIP section in the front row and see the show. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say show. Yeah, I said it.
Yes, you
a
did.
Show. See, the problem is we paying for country club benefits. But we're not even trying to tap in where the true power is. I can walk in blessedness. Hey, I made that word. I made that word up. We can walk in power and authority, but we don't even know how to do 10 push-ups in the spirit. How are we going to be trusting in the refuge of Christ when we don't even apply the basic skills? So why do you think we feel defeated every single time we go through something? Because it's some of our churches that is not teaching basic skills. How can you be powerful in your workout? How can you walk a 5K co-signing? How can you do any of that when you don't have a strong core?
That's right.
See,
that's right.
I ain't hearing nothing from nobody. See, we losing people on Facebook.
That's right.
See, we talking some real stuff. Yeah, it's great to walk in your blessedness. It's great. I'm living my blessed life. But what cost? See, we thirsty to get that blessing, but we're not thirsty to seek after God's truth. We're not thirsty enough to build our spiritual muscle to combat the stuff that we're dealing with today. We don't go to Jesus as our refuge. We go to Mookie. We go to JJ. We call Chef Roberta. We call the drill sergeant. We call Hot Sauce. We call everybody else.
Everybody but Jesus.
Jesus sitting right there, right in the chair, looking you dead in the eye. And because we can't see him or hear him, it's because we're not taught basic skills to even listen to the voice. So that's why we don't seek him for our refuge and our fortress, because we got the pastor as our refuge and our fortress, the bishop as our refuge and our fortress, and the first lady, we got her as our refuge and our fortress, but we don't trust in the source. And who's the source?
And so this is. Pastor Chris, and those people that you named out need a refuge and a fortress.
Hello.
Yes, that is so awesome. That is so true. And you know, because I always say that one of the things that, you know, when people come to most people don't know in the body of Christ, who Jesus is, what Jesus actually went through to save them.
Right.
They don't know
right.
suffering that the suffering that he went through to get to bring salvation to them. You know, they heard it, but nobody is not taught the depth of his suffering.
They know Malachi. Hello? They know Malachi. We don't know about their suffering, but I bet you we know Malachi.
My God.
But when we,
I bet you we can almost quote you Malachi. I bet you we know how much the pews cost. We need some new pews. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of all this crystal park in here. And you look down at your bottom, and ain't nothing wrong with the furniture you got.
My God.
But Joe and them down the street got some furniture. Now you want some. And where you come, boogity, 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 to the people. You got people walking to the service. You got people catching a ride to the service. You got people ain't got no food in their refrigerator coming to your service, and you worried about a new seat. And half the seats you got in there ain't filled up.
You spending
all your money to make the sound good. But I'm sick of the sound. I don't want a sound. I want to see results in the body of Christ. I want to see lost people saved. I want to see blind people see. I want to see crippled people get up and walk. I'm tired of you having a Mercedes and a Lexus and all of these big wheels. And the people are hurting. And nobody wants to help the people. Everybody want to help themselves. Well, I'm sick
Hello.
Of self-service. I want to be a real hospital where my patients are not dying. But you want me to call you doctor. I'm sick of you being the doctor and all of your patients are dead. And in these churches, it's sitting up in here with people with these big hats on, ain't got a brain up under the hat. It's time out for that. Corona has called us to the carpet. And the only people that's going to get off of the carpet with Corona is people that know Jesus for real. Because Corona is taking people out every day. And we want to act like the people have done something so wrong. Corona ain't about wrong. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he don't care who that is. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. We need some hot sauce on the buffet.
We need some fat.
You don't need to add no hot sauce on that.
No,
that's going to be.
No. I think
that's going to be.
Was trying to speak.
See, I understand where she's coming from, though, because this has been a problem, and that's why. When it comes to ministry, I'm just talking about me. I ain't talking about nobody else. See, that's why I understand. Yes, I understand ministry costs. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I also know that it takes finances to run ministry. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's your core I-5 and everything is surrounded by your core I-5, what am I talking about? Well, in computers, you have that processor that makes the tower run smooth. It's called the core. So when you have the core surrounded by Malachi 3, hello. See, when you have your core surrounded by making sure I got a nice toupee on my head when I'm bald, you want to make sure you got the movie design seats in the front row for your VIP customers. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even
say what?
That. Your VIP members or your board or however you want to call it. See, we're so caught up in being in our drip. Like the young folks say, I'm dripping in finesse. See, we dripping in finesse. We looking all good. We smelling all good. We look like we blessed. We talk like we're blessed. But at the end of the day, we ain't thirsty enough for Jesus' refuge. Uh-oh. See, let me stop. I went into my sermon with that one. See, the young people got what I'm saying. So let me talk in layman's terms. See, you too busy trying to be cute. You too busy trying to be fly, looking like Pimp Daddy, looking like Miss Thing, Miss It, instead of being thirsty or hungry for the word of God to seek who he is,
that word, but I'm saying we're so busy trying to keep up with the image of the pastor that we ain't even seeing that God is sitting right there waiting for our knuckleheads to get off this Malachi 3 horse and start seeking him, because the blessing is in the love. The blessing is in trusting in God. The blessing is when people see that you do this thing for the Lord and not you, and not taking all the praises for you, and not pumping up your own head, and you giving everything you got to make sure the people of God get what they need. Yeah, you're going to have your hatery. I got the t-shirt, the hat, the MP3. I got haterade every day of the week.
And a bumper sticker.
Exactly.
And a bumper sticker.
Y'all hating on the ministry. Don't hate on the ministry, because we don't beg and con people into doing underhanded stuff just for me to drive in my Lexus. I drive a 2018 Midnight Ultima, and I got a cracked windshield. So I'm living my blessed life, but my mortgage is paid, my lights paid, all those things are paid, and God continues to use people to make sure his ministry, not mine, his ministry continues to walk this thing out. Let me stop, y'all, see, because I'm about to get started. See, I'm a little pumped up because I got some hate mail this week about what we're trying to do over here at TPV, and it got me fired up because y'all just got me set with the refuge in Christ. But we believe in the refuge of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one that built this ministry. It ain't me.
What?
It's Christ that is in me. I had no qualifications whatsoever to make this work. But when I died to Chris and let God lead me and have him be my fortress, be my strength, be my redeemer, be my coach, be my pilot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what the haters say. Keep hating. But every time God blesses, I don't say I get the glory. I say God gets the glory. Every single time a blessing hits. Why? Because I know I'm not even worthy enough to walk this walk. But God, I know I messed up some stuff in my life, try to sabotage my own anointing. But God, I know what God is saying in this season, and we are going to do it. We're going to burn the kitchen down this morning. Y'all better stop messing with me this morning. I yield the mic.
You better burn that kitchen up. We better got a cook dog on it. You burned down the bathroom. You better mess with that kitchen. But you're absolutely right. What'd you say, Sister Roberta?
The fire's getting hot.
Yeah, but you better douse that fire and control it, because you can't burn that kitchen down. We got to cook. But you know, Sister Roberta, what Pastor Chris was saying, it brought me back to what happened earlier this week, Sister Tree. I was in a place where I was upset about some stuff. And I did myself a favor, and I called your mother. And that's why, for our listeners, it is vital and crucial as to who you got on speed dial when trouble hits your life. Because if you dial the wrong number and receive the wrong advice, you're going to be in trouble. But I called your mother, and I was sharing with her I texted her, and she was sharing with us. And she said to me, she said, go listen to My Hallelujah Belongs to You. Go listen to it right now. Go listen to that. And I did exactly what she told me. And not long after that, ministry happened for me. I was talking to a 70-some-year-old woman, and her husband passed about a year ago. And I was asking her, I said, I'm surprised you're not asleep. She said, baby, I can't sleep. I said, ma'am? She said, I can't sleep. And I'm like, wow, how can you function and you can't sleep? And so the Holy Spirit led me to pray. And after I prayed that her sleep would be sweet, the Lord said to me, that's why you can't afford to stay in chaos. Because ministry you never would think about doing ministry if you were still pondering what had happened in your life. And that is so vital to me. And that is missing in our lives as well as a people called the people of God. We're not standing with each other. We're saying, well, you don't wear red on first Sundays, or you don't wear white on first Sundays, so you're not my sister. That has nothing to do with anything. I might have a hole in my head, and I might have on some black boots and black lipstick, and my hair stick up straight in the air. But if I know the Lord Jesus Christ and he's my Savior, I'm your sister, whether you want to acknowledge me or not. So we're concerned about the wrong thing. We're concerned about the stuff we see. But it's about the work. People are waiting on us to know who we are and to walk in it. Thank you, Sister Roberta. Go ahead.
Hot sauce. See, I was rude. Sorry, Chef Roberta. I was rude because hot sauce was pouring the sauce in the pot, and I just pretty much came in the kitchen with the drumsticks in the pan ready to get it in.
Mm-hmm.
So I apologize, hot sauce, for not allowing God to move. So hot sauce, I yield the mic. I just want to apologize for a second.
What is all that?
No need to apologize at all. It's so important for all of us to be able to be heard and get it out. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go back to something that we said a few minutes ago, just about what's being taught in the church. I think the biggest problem is that when a new Christian, let's say a non-Christian, comes into the church, they're coming in seeking something new. They're coming in seeking something different. And so when they come in, they're open. They're a sponge. They're an open book with no letters on it. They're looking for someone to fill them up. And they come in and they look at the person behind the pulpit that's giving the word and that's supposed to be leading their flock. And they get to the point where they are led by that person, and they follow that person to an extreme. So what needs to happen is the pastors that are behind the pulpit need to say, hey, I'm just a servant. I don't know all the answers. I don't know, everything, the ins and outs. I'm learning and I'm growing every day myself. Don't follow me, follow Christ. But if a pastor is going to say that, this is the other thing. It's so important to have your own devotion or devotional time and worship time with the Lord. So if you're telling me I have to be at church Monday through Monday, almost 24/7 or around the clock, when am I having that time for that supplication and that devotion with the Lord? It gets to the point where the church actually drains you. It takes everything from you. Because let's be real. Some of us have to work, Some of us have children, and they have schoolwork to do, and they have projects. And so guess who's involved? The parents. Some of us have other commitments. We are coaches or whatever. We have a life to live. But you're telling me, any time that I have free, that I am supposed to be there at the church service. When the first service, the first service is unto the Lord, the second is your family. And if I am neglecting family, I'm out of order. I'm out of order.
Yep.
So I think it's so important from the basics. Let's go to the basics. From day one, when I walk into your church, okay, I need to be taught the order of God. And the pastor is not the order of God. He's not. It's God's family church. So we have to, and the church is the ministry, not the pastor. And I think that's something that has been totally drilled into us, and us thinking that we have to serve the man.
I'm going to say this, you know, I grew up predominantly in black churches, and, you know, when I had to come into the knowledge of some things, and I had to be deprogrammed from some stuff that I was taught was right, meaning not so much in my family taught was right, but in my teaching in the church, you know, this is how you do it, this is how you do it. And when I started that personal time with God and God started revealing some things, I'm like, this ain't right. This ain't what God intended for it to be. So in doing that, you know, your eyes become open, and then you have to try to go and steer your family, you know, your personal family in the right way and all those things. But I want it to be known. It's not that you are against what the pastor is saying. It's just that you've been enlightened. So when I came into a body of Christ where it's a white pastor preaching, and they didn't do pastor's anniversary, I didn't understand. Like, why are we not giving thousands of dollars to the pastor? And why are we not buying the pastor and the wife a fur coat? And why are we not? And when he broke that thing down, because some of the members were like, no, pastor, we wanna do this for you. And he broke it down. He said, that is not of God. That is not scriptural. That is not. The service is unto the Lord. The service is not unto me. And he never allowed that to come into his church. My eyes was wide open at that point, because I was like, all this time we thought that we were supposed to continue to give to the pastor and the first lady, pastor and the first lady, birthday, this, that, and the other. And, and is the pastor and first lady giving to the flock on their birthdays?
Mm-mm.
So
it's anniversaries.
And anniversaries. It's things and traditions that we have been doing and that we have been taught that are just wrong. It's not about, I heard someone say a couple weeks ago, we got pastors and wives on billboards now. So we're telling people to come to serve the billboard, the people on the billboard, or are they coming to serve Christ? What is it? Jesus is supposed to be the reason why they're walking through those doors. So why isn't there a picture of Jesus on the billboard? It's things like that we have to get. We have to go, Pastor Chris. This is mild.
No.
Okay, Pastor Chris, calm down.
I don't know about that. It's pretty spicy to me. You have to mess around there and take up an offering after a while.
But I'm trying to just. We need to get back to basics. The basics is Jesus. It's about trusting Jesus. It's not about trusting the man behind the pulpit. Okay, I'm going to be quiet now because Pastor Chris don't cut up.
But you know what, Tracy? Corona is taking us back. Because people that are dealing with these corona situations, they're not interested in how much money you need. They're interested in what is the solution to this problem. How do we get from where we are to not where we were, to where we should be? People's ears are becoming open, their eyes are becoming open, and if you ain't saying nothing, they keeping it moving. They're not running to these church houses to hear you do business as usual. They're looking for an answer.
But the church is in you. The church is not in the building. The church.
Hello.
That's the sit down effect. God gave us a sit down spirit in the corona era. Okay, we had to sit down and see, do we really know what we've been running to a building about? Are we really living what we've been running to a building saying, I got to go to church, I got to go to church, I got to go to church? The church is in you. It's in you.
Yeah.
So
absolutely right.
We are the church. Are we living what?
What is this
man in the background?
That's hot sauce. That's her
that
intro.
That wasn't me. But yeah, I wish you were listening to those doors for. You know, the church is open. Are we open? Are we helping people?
Yeah.
Are we loving people? Are we serving people? That's what the church is. It's about total service to the Lord.
Oh, Lord.
You just
answered
a question that Pastor Chris had gotten on Facebook. Pastor Chris got a question on Facebook that says for us to define church, and you just defined it. It's the individual.
Oh, wow. The church is the people. It's the people.
The church is the people.
Well,
you are
the church. Well, no. That's not correct, Sister Lorraine. The building is where we find God, and we're able to tap in to the blessing. This is where we can tap into the overflow. You have to come to the house with two or three are gathered together in my name. Oh, I'm sorry, his name. Then he'll be in the midst. So we got to define that the building has power still. See, everybody wants to have their own power, but the power is in the church building. Just saying.
I left the building and became... I became more aware of the flaws that I had that God wanted to iron out. I wasn't aware of those flaws in the building because I was going along with the status quo in the building. I became religious to the building. But when I left that building and things escalated in my life, then I started to self-evaluate. You know, Lord, what am I doing you're pleased with? And when he gave me a grocery list, that building was hurting me. And so realness set in at home. And I shared with my husband one day. He came home from the building. I said, you know what? You might need to stay home a couple of Sundays. Or you done went to the building and ain't doing too good. So, yeah, I believe that we need to assess ourselves. Pastor Chris had another question. Robert, is it okay if he shares that?
Sure. Yes. Of course.
Yeah, I had a question on Facebook. We had two, but we just answered it. The one about can you define church? I had another one, and it says, can you give a day-to-day physical and natural example of being in, I believe they were asking, being in God's refuge or a spiritual and a natural? I believe that's what the question was conveying.
Who got that?
An example of being in God's refuge. Refuge is a place of safety. I can give an example of how he rescued me. I was in a it was a physical altercation, and I began to praise God, and the person that was attacking me heard a knock at the door and doorstep. Went to the door, was nobody there. So God became my refuge. He was my refuge. He was my very present help at that time because physically I was being attacked. I was being attacked physically, and I called on his name, and he became my refuge and stopped the attack. So, and sometimes, you know, you've had cases where you might be getting ready to, the car, my car was getting ready to hit a tree. And I just said, Jesus, and it just stopped just an inch from the tree. That was my refuge. That was my, you know, that was God supernaturally protecting me. And that's what a refuge, is, protection. It's protection, it's an accommodation for whatever you need. So in a time in your life.
And I have one for the natural, Sister Roberta. I mean, for the spiritual, rather. God was my refuge. During a time when I had went to bed and went to sleep, and in my sleep, I felt my spirit leaving sound, natural sound. So in my mind, I was dying. And I laid there, and the sound of the world became further and further and further away from my hearing. And all of a sudden, I heard a small voice. It was an 18 months old, I think he was. He was singing, in the name of Jesus, I got the victory. And I started moving. My spirit started to move towards that sound.
and I woke up. I believe had he not sung that song by my in my bed that day, I would have passed away. So that was a spiritual refuge. God is not short of what he does. We short of, Roberta said what he said to her some years ago. He said, he told her, he said, I'm not short of miracles. I'm short of my people believing me for one. So I didn't have anything to do with that episode that day, other than I was the person laying there dying. But I didn't have the knowledge to say, oh, yeah, I know what I'll do. I'll go towards that voice. The Holy Spirit was just helping me. So that was a spiritual refuge.
And I believe Pastor Chris gave one of his testimony. He said, I'm not qualified to do what I'm doing.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm.
But he's not qualified, but God, that's a natural that God can take a person that's not qualified to do a job that they've never been taught with no experience and let them do it and let them do it in a professional way, professionally, and do it perfected.
Right.
And they haven't had any classes or anything. That's an example of God doing it on the natural as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he tells you to do something and then give you what you need to do it.
Yeah, give
everything
you how
you
to do
need
it.
To do it with. You need to do it with. So, you know, we all, if we look in our lives, our examples, we all have examples of how God was our refuge in some area or another.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I'm living in a home that ain't nowhere in the world I'm supposed to have. Because, you know, I had lost the house to foreclosure. And 2 months later, get a house, and all I had to do is sign my name to it. Didn't have a dog.
No, that don't happen.
That don't happen. Half an acre land. That don't happen. He was my refuge. He was my refuge. You know, so there's many examples that we can give of God being our refuge. Supernaturally and naturally.
My God.
See, it was it was in the tithe, Chef Roberta. When you sold your seed, it gave you double for your trouble. So if you sow $1,000 seed, God will double it for your trouble. All you have to do is
I ain't got my $2,000 yet.
In the building. I mean, I'm sorry.
I ain't got my $2,000 yet, Pastor Chris.
Oh, Jesus.
Pastor Chris,
here it is. It's your, Drill Sergeant, your faith. See, it's a problem with your faith, Sister Lorraine.
Well, I think
it's
a problem with the time limit. They don't never put a time limit on that $2,000. If they said, if they tell me in 2 months I'm going to get it, I think I can hold on for 2 months. But it's been 10 years and I still ain't got it. Something wrong.
My God. See, this is why we have to go into the next level of blessing. This is why we have to go into the next level.
You're going
to
get put out the kitchen. You're
going to
get put out of the kitchen.
Lorraine, this is why. This is why we don't put our trust fully in what God is doing in this season. This is why you need to come to the building more so we can fellowship and build your faith up. So we need to have a revival so we can build the money. I mean, the prayers of the righteous man availeth much. So if you just sow, and I feel the Spirit of God about to break this place wide open. I feel the Spirit of God, Sister Lorraine. If you just sow another $1,000 seed in due season, you will reap the harvest. You just have to put your faith in the Father, and he will do it.
Mm.
Oh, my God. We're about to have a praise break up in here.
Now, we don't have no
goodness.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you dead wrong. You dead wrong for that.
Oh no.
when we
dead wrong for that.
To the trust in God.
Yeah.
Trust in God has nothing to do with what we want. It has to do with our faith in Him, what He wants.
Yeah.
What He wants. It's about what He wants, not what we want. Because when we come to Him, we come to Him because of who He is. Because He's speaking up. He set everything up so that we can seek Him. But He was seeking us. He came to our level. He came down to where we were.
He did.
We need to look to where He came down to our level because we couldn't come up to His. And then He gave us everything we need to believe and trust Him. He gave us the faith. He gave us everything. He gave us everything that we need to believe in Him, to trust in Him, to even to even want Him. He was seeking us. We wasn't seeking Him. And
weren't seeking Him at all.
Not at all. Not at all. Mm. And once He says, okay, here am I, and you turned aside and said, okay, this is, I need this. Because when it comes down, when I look at my life as far as the church, you know, once I became dedicated to God and my relationship with Him grew, my relationship with the church kind of dwindled away because, you know, because I was the one with them holes in the stockings and I didn't have on the red bottoms and the leather and all that stuff. I was so glad to come to the church. I could have wore the same dress every Sunday. It didn't bother me because it wasn't about that. It was about getting to know who He was. It was about coming to church, hearing the word, then coming home studying to show myself. It was study so that I could see what this preacher is saying. Let me see what is it saying to me. So I was feeding my spirit man. I wasn't about what it looked like. And I mean, the women were sharp. Their hair was laid. Their hair was laid and all that. But that didn't bother me because I had another assignment. I had an assignment to bring in seven babies to church for Sunday school to teach them. I had another assignment that I had to work on. I had to work on dying to my flesh and getting the things that I wanted done, you know. A lot of things that I had to that God was killing in me was that was you know my anger, my unforgiveness, me. He was killing the I in me. So I wasn't concerned about what they were doing or what they were saying because they were talking about me. They were laughing at me.
Let me help you with that. Let me help you with that. We were feeling sorry for her. Oh, that poor girl. Look at them shoes she got on. But you know what? God showed me later on. She was the one that was praying us through. We had on knee shoes, but we were dumb as a box of rocks. So had she submitted to death, we probably wouldn't be living today. So, yeah, you're right, Roberta. You're right.
The walk is about the dying. The dying to yourself and become alive. The spirit quickening you. The spirit, coming alive in you. So when that happens, all this other stuff, it doesn't matter. You know, matter of fact, I got in trouble a couple of times because they were having some programs and stuff, and I said, that's not God. So I didn't know, that's not God. You know, and they, some people came along, I said, they off.
What?
And these were some name brand people. They tell me, they off. And they think, oh, you always, they off. You hear me? I don't want to hear because they off. But they were off in the spirit realm. So I began to intercede for them. When I knew my job was to begin to pray for people, that's all mattered to me. The only thing mattered to me that I pray and see things come fall off of people's lives. That's all. All that other stuff didn't even matter. You know, and when God show you who you are, when you get to that place where you trust Him, you say, okay, it don't matter. All that other stuff, okay. Because you know that stuff going to fade away. That's going to come to nothing. It don't mean a thing. You know, them red bottoms, they're going to peel and they're gonna hurt your foot.
Those ain't red bottoms, Chef. That's the knockoff. Those are red bottoms.
No, it ain't. Them real red bottoms hurt. Them real red bottoms hurt. Shoot. Yes,
you
they
supposed
do.
To be,
Because you know what? You ain't seen a person yet. You ain't seen not one person yet that put on a pair of red bottoms and put the picture in his foot up. Every last one of them put on a pair of red bottoms. When you say, let me take your picture, you going to take a picture in them shoes or you ain't going to get no picture. They don't care if you cut half of their head off as long as you get them bottoms. Yes.
Well, I thought.
So them red bottoms are distraction.
Yes. That's why when you take those pictures and you put one of your leg up so they can see the red bottom on the shoe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just saying. I don't know. Maybe that's just, you know, a thing nowadays that you got to see the red bottom when you're posing so they know you're walking in your overflow. I don't know. Maybe.
Walking in your bill and credit card heist up. And them same people that's got them red bottoms on, if you say to them, there's a family that needs some food, would you help? I'm taking up a donation. Won't give you a quarter.
They don't have
no.
But we will spend all that money for red bottoms. But we'll not turn aside to do ministry. Because we'll want to know where they work at. How long they been working? What kind of car they drive? What difference does any of that make? If there's a family that's hungry and we have the ability to meet the need, and collectively today, the four of us on this call today, if we were to put in $10 a piece, that's $40, and that would feed a person for 2 or 3 days if they go to the grocery store and buy, you know, they better not buy no meat. They give them some bread, though. You know, but it's some Roman noodles or something. But it'll feed them. It'll feed them. Just us four. And we got a whole church full of folks. And you're passing a basket around, but there's no enthusiasm behind that we're going to feed a family.
Not because
you're
not.
But now let you be talking about it's time to buy me a car. You tell them they're going to make the announcement. You pimp out your people to make that announcement. But you have to say, let's feed the hungry family. And my message, you please put some icing on the cake. Somebody got to do something because I keep going rambling. I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm going to put my phone on mute.
Well, see. I'm about to throw another one in the chain, and I think it's going to cause a chain reaction when I throw this one out here, because this is one of the most I'm not going to say that. Let me be nice. This is the most overused scripture that we can co-sign on when it comes to giving honor to your man and woman of God. And this is what makes people feel some kind of way when they are not able to give at the necessity, because the famous scripture that they read, you know, a workman, y'all know this scripture out there in Facebook land. See, a workman is worthy of his hire. So, therefore, you give unto the man or woman of God, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. Now, let me see how they flip this. See, they use the word double honor. Okay, it does not necessarily mean monetary. It means let it be considered worthy of double honor. Who is it honoring? Not your congregation. Not the board. Oh, Lord. It's honoring who? God. Especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. That's from the ESV. I had to break it down a little bit. See, we don't understand. We receive double honor in what you just said, Drill Sergeant, in regards to just bringing a $5 pot. We all get together and be able to bless that family that struggled just to make it to the house. They had to take three buses and we had the whole pastoral staff pass them right by. But yet you want them to continue to give unto your ministry. Because a workman is due his hire. So then I'm over here taking three buses, coming to the church. I'm already frustrated. Mm-hmm. I come into the house. I got enough money just to take me and my kids back home. And then here you come talking about a workman's due his hire. That is misrepresentation of the scripture. God will bless the man or woman of God in every other way except money. But you see how we tied that scripture in to our tithe and offering service? We take 30 to 45 minutes on Malachi 3,
mm-hmm.
and we're not even under that law. That's what I don't understand. See, we're so busy trying to practice old customs. That has nothing to do with today's believer. We are the body. We're not the Israelites. That's their
mm-hmm.
covenant. We're not under the Levitical priesthood. That is their covenant. We freely give, not noose give. Uh-oh. Ooh, I'm getting in trouble
Amen.
With this one. See, we're too busy putting a noose, a spiritual noose, around
mm-hmm.
folks, especially
mm-hmm.
in some of our churches.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the black church. I'm sorry. Because we're so busy trying to compete with Chef Roberta and Hot Sauce that she be on her drip on Facebook. So we got to compete. So that's why we got to go ahead and throw our $2,000 seed offering so we can outdo Hot Sauce on Facebook. Or we can outdo the chef when she be busting out those delicious meals in her catering business. We got to out-drill Drill Sergeant when she be running them 5Ks and growing that garden and them vegetables looking so delicious. See, we got to always outdo each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this kingdom mm-hmm. is not about trying to outdo. We are supposed mm-hmm. to hold each other up. Not going to each other's pockets. Oops, I'm sorry. We unlost everybody on Facebook, y'all. Let me stop, because I don't know what lit this fire. See, we're supposed to be talking about refuge, so let me reel it back. But see, there's a link to all this. See,
mm-hmm.
we can have refuge when anyone mm-hmm. makes the key word, decision.
Mm-hmm.
When we make the decision to follow Jesus Christ, their
mm-hmm.
refuge is in the refuge that we are talking about is called the salvation. Our salvation to God is what rescues us from the danger of the kingdom of darkness and brought into protection in the kingdom of light. The Bible tells us in Psalms 91 how God protects those who belong to
who?
Him. Many ways.
Him.
Not just giving $1,000 seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Not just being the best tither or the best dressed or being on every committee in your church.
Mm-hmm.
We have to belong to him in many
mm-hmm.
ways. What does that mean? It doesn't have to take a whole lot of money to be a blessing. Number two, he keeps me from the grave, like Drill Sergeant just talked about. Somebody kept her from the grave and blessed her with love and mercy, and God co-signed it. Why? Because
mm-hmm.
she called on the name of Jesus, and he gave her her refuge. Psalms 103,
mm-hmm.
verse 4, if y'all don't believe me. See, Jesus provides safety from the devil when we go through all the stuff in this world. We find ourselves overcome by the world, but God is
mm-hmm.
our refuge when we belong. Here's the other word. When we belong to him. Not your pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Not your bishop.
Right.
Not Pookie, JJ, Hot Sauce, drill sergeant, chef, or even the band. When you belong to him, we can find refuge in who he is.
Him.
I'm dropping the mic. I'm turning my mic off. Let me stop. All right. Back to you, y'all. I'm done.
That's powerful. I want to read out of the Passion Bible, Psalms 37:5, to go along with what Pastor Chris just said. Give God the right to direct your life, and you will trust Him along the way. And as you trust Him along the way, you'll find He'll pull it off perfectly. He'll pull it off perfectly. But the first thing, give God the right to direct your life. So it comes with instruction.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with guidance. So you give that to God to do first. See, we come, you know, we with the tithes and offering, but one of the things that we also don't teach that the lifestyle as well is not just in church. It's how you treat people. It's how you pay your bills.
We talk about, but
if you don't pay your bills, you become a liar because you made a promise to pay that debt. And God don't like liars. He don't like us to lie to nobody. He's a righteous guy. So when you give him your life, he's gonna guide you in every area, not just one, not just going to church, not just Malachi, paying your tithes and all, but also paying your debt, also being trustworthy, also being accountable, a good steward over your finance, a good steward, loving on your children, teaching your children, respecting your children, your husband, you know, your coworkers. You know, you got a lot of Christians. They jumping up and down, and they what Rose say? They speaking in
speaking in tongues and lying in English.
My God!
Did you hear Rose say that last week?
but
I did.
But
I did. Boy, that's deep, ain't it?
But that trust in God go in every area of our life, every area.
It does.
Every area. Not just, you know, for him to get me out of trouble. Not for him to bless me. But it's in every area of our life. And even when we're in a situation and he don't answer the way we thought he would, are we going to walk away or are we going to stay there and trust? Because he don't always give us yes. He don't always tell us, okay, I'm going to do this. And it don't always work out good for you. It doesn't always, when I say good for you, the way you look at it as
you
good.
Thought,
the what you thought was good. You know, you pray for a loved one and they die. You know, God, you told me if I believe, if I paid my tithes, if you said you would open up the wonders of heaven. You said, You give him his word. But God answers according to his will, not ours. He answers according to his will. And when we understand that it's about him, not us, we want what he wants. Jesus came and he said this. He didn't have his own agenda. He didn't have his own way. He didn't have what he wanted. He said, I came to do the will of my Father. He said, I only want to say what my Father say. I only want to do what I see my Father do. So when we come, when our life is exchanged for Jesus and we become his child, then we want what he wants. If he don't want it, I don't want it. If he say no, it's fine. I say no too. Because he said, if you abide in me, stay in me. If I stay in him, I'm going to want what he wants. When I come out of him, I'm like, oh, okay. And that's where the problem comes in. It's nothing wrong with anything he blessed you with. But see, the blessing of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow. So when God bless you, ain't nobody going to have no sorrow. I don't have to not pay my bill to put that $1,000 in church.
Come on.
So that I can look good.
Oh, Jesus.
But the blessing of the Lord makes rich and add no sorrow. When we get to, when we want it, when we want it, then we have, that comes to sorrow with the why. Because now I got to go do some things that I wouldn't have to do if I didn't have this. You know, it was times that God said, no, you know, you wanted some furniture. And he said, no, wait a minute, not yet.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get the furniture and sign on the dotted line. Now I'm having a problem paying it.
That's right.
On the car.
That's
not
right.
I'm having a problem. Now, wait a minute. He told you to wait. He said, not now, wait. But you wanted it anyway. So that's not trusting. That's making your own way. The way already, Jesus said, he said, I am the way. I don't have to make it. I am the way. I'm the way. So I don't have to make the way because the way I already made. All you do is follow me to take you the way. You just follow me. Follow me. You know, Paul said, follow me.
And
so
wait on God.
Christ. Wait on God. He's going to bring it to pass. And if he don't, it's still okay.
Yes.
It's still okay. Trust in him. Don't doubt trust. Just say, what you doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. You know, girl, you could have been had that. All you had to do is go down there, sign on the dotted line. Oh, he won't let me do that. I've learned this. The hard way.
Yeah.
The hard way. And he'll say, no, just wait. And he'll have somebody come and give it to you. Where if you don't want to pay for it, you've been struggling. But when we realize what he says, his blessing makes rich. Add no what?
Yeah.
Sorrow.
No sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
No sorrow. No sorrow. No sorrow.
Right. Mm.
So that's what we have to learn, how to trust God. Okay, God, you know, I like that. God's going to do it. He's going to do it. And when we get that, when we get to that place in our heart and we trust him, that no matter what, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to wait on you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we want the blessing yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm.
We want it yesterday. Wait a minute. I'm getting left behind. The neighbors got new wonders. I'm getting left behind. I need some new wonders. I got new wonders.
Oh, Lord.
My God. My God.
Got to keep on driving this hoopty.
Yeah, I got to drive this. Lord, I've done this, Lord. And I got to drive this hoopty, Lord. I'm paying my tithes. I'm giving my offering. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And, Lord, look where I'm at.
That's right.
But see, God is not responsible to bless you in areas he didn't tell you to give him.
Come on. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You better not say that no more. I dare you to say that again. I double down dare you. What you say, girl? Say that again. And be clear. What you say?
He's not obligated to bless you in areas he didn't tell you to give him.
Oh.
You know what, Pastor Chris, mute my line.
What?
I ain't got nothing else to say. I don't even want to be associated with that statement there because there's a posse coming for her. I don't want to be nowhere near. Lord, have mercy, Jesus.
You know what? That's so big. I like.
Yeah, that's big, Gertrude. Keep put that on Facebook, and after that, my sister, please put that on Facebook, too. Tag, put that on Facebook. Oh, my God.
But Lorraine, you know, I've often told you, don't give me nothing God ain't told you to give me.
Ooh, Lord.
Don't do nothing that God ain't told you to do for me.
Yeah,
I'm
you're a fourth all by yourself.
You
is Jesus' cousin. I ain't never seen it before today. She has seen it now. She Jesus' cousin. She Jesus first cousin. She ain't the second cousin. She Jesus first cousin. Oh my God!
That's so powerful. That is so powerful.
And see, that's what happens to me, Tracy. I'll be talking to her some days, and I'll be at the park, and she say stuff like that, and I'll be like, "Hey, remember that? Because when I get home, I want to write that down." I get home, she don't know. She probably won't know 4 words to it. That is so powerful.
But you know that knowledge, that wisdom comes in. the time, the supplication that you spend with God and getting to know him, what you said, getting to know him. That is so important because I can remember many times sitting in church where this is offer number 12, they passing the basket. And I'm like, I'm not feeling that in my sha-na-na at all. Like, I don't, I don't know.
Yeah, because you ain't got that much of left money in your pocket left.
That's good. Because God is not obligated to bless you in areas where he didn't tell you to give. Hello?
That girl said she didn't feel that often in her sha-na-na. Pastor Chris, mute her phone too. She said she didn't feel that often in her sha-na-na. Where they get these things from? Learn her mercy.
She went into the next level. See, you got to understand, when you go into your sha-na-na-na, and then you go into your mama say, mama ma, mama makusa, and then you go into your Hyundai, to your Shanday, God's going to give you the anointing that you need. See, don't get me started. See, this is why I can't mess with y'all. See, the band over here is trying to stay composed, but see, Hot Sauce had to add the little extra kick to the menu. And see, we got folks now tripping because now you unblew their spot up, Chef. You told them that, what do you mean, don't give me nothing God ain't promised? What are you talking about? Well, again, we've been taught that God promised us land on the Thousand Hills. God promised us all these things and material stuff. Now listen, people are going to get mad, but it's okay. See, we have to understand something. When we seek the promises of God, they are not linked at all with money. Let me say that one more time. See, when we seek the promises of God is not linked in money. See, the big pastors might have disagreed with this because that's what we have been preaching. But your money is not the activation for your blessing. Your money is not the activation for your next level faith. See, the blessing is in your relationship with God.
In your being.
I don't care how much you know. I don't care how many schools you attended. I'm sorry. We're losing some folks on social media, but that's quite all right. See, we only want to hear the nice stuff. We want to hear that we're going to get the blessings of Abraham, and we're Abraham seed, and we're ready to do backflips in our church, doing praise breaks, doing dance moves, doing backflips and headstands. See, we have to understand, one thing. We don't have to do anything that is not Christ-centered. When you bless somebody, and God is telling you to bless them, that is a heart posture. Let me preach this a little bit, since we got a lot of mix-up with giving. See, when you give, it's a heart posture. When the woman gave her two mites, it was a heart posture. Her heart, God knew where she was. So what, you give a dollar every Sunday? So what? God knows your situation, and the next thing you know, God's going to do something supernatural. Why? Because he is our refuge. It doesn't matter how much you give. If your heart is in it, see, y'all don't want to mess with me. See, we got a lot of folks giving, y'all, but they giving for the wrong reason. They looking for the instant popcorn blessing. They looking for that hot sauce to add in their pot just to give them a little kick so we can get a spiritual high. But when our blessing don't come when we want it,
See, when our blessing don't come at 5:45 p.m. in August 2nd, we get some feeling kind of way. See, we get all upset with God, and God never promised us material blessings. That is an old custom. Read your Bible. What he promised you was abundance in wisdom, knowledge, understanding. See, when you get all those elements, everything else will follow you.
Yes.
Why? You don't have to pimp the pulpit. Uh-oh. You don't have to 1-800 cash at me right now if you feel that this word moved your spirit. Here's the cash app, and cash app to this ministry. Listen, it is all about Jesus Christ. We get the element of it takes money to run ministry. We got that. But if that's all you talking about, I'm going to get in trouble with this one too. If that's all you talking about, that's why your whole ministry is not centered on the pilot. It's centered on the George Washington. Uh-oh. In God we trust. Really? Are we trusting in God for real? Or are we trusting in the system? Uh-oh. What's that system, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. The quick fix, microwave, 2 minutes, put it in there, get it all whipped up, boom, when the alarm goes off, we take it out, we eat it. We so used to our instant coffee that we don't even want to wait for the brew process. Uh-oh. All right, let me stop. See, I'm trying to be nice. See, but we're going to lose everybody on Facebook, and I don't want to lose, folks, because I want to get mine now. I feel like J.G. Wentworth, 877, get me my stuff. Uh-oh. I don't want to wait to process. I don't want to wait till the papers are processed. Chef, I want my state-of-the-art band equipment right alongside your state-of-the-art kitchen with all the trimmings. I also want to make sure that hot sauce is standing by to add the spice to the meal. I also want to make sure Drill Sergeant is making sure the sous chefs that are helping the main chef get the meal prepared, I want to make sure we got state-of-the-art stuff. Let me stop. See, I'm getting in trouble, y'all. See, I don't know what set me off, but I think it was Drill Sergeant with her low-key command when she was throwing it in there, and she knew that she gonna get the band lit up, and then here come hot sauce with the extra spice, with the chef laying the smackdown on the hashtag, don't give me nothing, God ain't promised. Let me stop and drop this mic. Back to you, y'all. I'm done.
I'm done too, Pastor Chris. She come, do you right. She come here and drop a bomb in the kitchen and didn't expect for it to blow up.
Pastor Chris.
Y'all don't care.
Go ahead, old Pastor Chris. You, the band want to get loose. You a loose, I tell you. We need to call on some of these callers. We the kitchen kid. The kitchen is almost ready. It's getting hot in here. We need to call on a couple callers. See what these callers are. What's on their plate today?
Ooh, oh, Jesus. All right, y'all. Okay, callers. While we calm down, we would love to hear from you. So we will read the last four digits of your phone number. And if you don't speak, we'll give you 3 seconds. And if you don't reply, we'll go to the next caller. So first up, 2985. You are live on the air. God bless you.
Well, what a wonderful day. It's been a lot of truth today. I thank God for liberty. You guys have brought some liberty, freedom. And I'm grateful to the word of God because God do watch over his word to perform it. I thank God that trusting in God is the best thing that we can ever do. And God himself said, put not your trust in man, but put it in me. Mm-hmm. So I thank God the show today is great. I thank God for those that standing on the word of God, standing in the truth of God, and standing armed and dangerous, having no fear, because you are definitely clothed in righteousness. God bless all of you all on this line.
Thank
you, Sister Ruby.
Thank you, Ruby.
I'm ready to dance. The word is it. The word is powerful. And I thank God for it. Heaven suffered violence, but the violence took it by force. And that's the force of the power of God, the word of God, the Holy Ghost. I thank God that we can trust him.
Amen.
Amen.
See, Sister Ruby gonna come in here. See, we finally got the band calm down, and Sister Ruby gonna come in here and get stuff started. See, I'm gonna put you back on mute, Sister Ruby, because you wanna start it something. So let me put you back on mute before we end up busting this thing wide open. So we love you, Sister Ruby.
Yes, yes, love
you.
Oh
my God. Oh, next caller. 3066. 3066, you are live on the air. God bless you. God bless you. Going once, going twice. God bless you. We'll put you back on mute. Thank you so much for calling. Next caller. 1350, you are live on the air. God bless you.
Hello, y'all. What a, wow, what an interesting topic we're talking about when it comes to trust. Most of the time as an unbeliever or as even a believer, we say with our eyes, but our hearts and our mouths don't believe the same thing that we're seeing. And the biggest part with God that we have to understand as unsaved and children of God, we have to hear what he's telling us to do. Nobody wants to have an ear when they come into the body of Christ. Nobody. And if our ears are not in tune, we gonna be upset. And then put the blame on the pastor. And then put the blame on everybody else when God is saying, no, you did that. So once we in tune our ears and incline it to hear the instruction of the Holy Spirit, a lot of this is eliminated because he's our guide. He leads and guides us into all truth. So a lot of the things that we did it upon ourselves. We can't blame what the pastor them did. We have no reason to blame them because when we get to that gate, he said, what did you do? Not pastor, not their wives, not their outfits. What did you do? It is one-on-one. What did you seek? So most of the times, the ones that are not saved, that are trying to rededicate their life and come back to Christ, get into relationship with God before you get into any serving ministry and allow God to tell you where to serve, how to serve, and what to do. God bless you.
God bless you.
Oh, my God. See, these folks on this line is trying to start something. See, I'm trying to be nice. See, I'm trying. See, okay, we going to get through this. Okay, man, hold up. 6015, you are live on the air. God bless you.
Miss Lucille?
Hello.
I hear
hello.
You.
Hello.
Lucille Priestley. Did they call
God
my name,
bless
Sarah?
You.
Yeah, you just listening, Miss Lucille?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Miss Lucille and Miss Dorothy Curry. Thank you, Miss Lucille.
All right. Bye.
God bless you. Last caller, 71, you are live on the air. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless you, Pastor Chris. Man, it's a pleasure just to listen to everyone on the line.
hot sauce. Goodness.
Mm-mm.
I like to put hot sauce on everything. And when I be hearing you speak, it's like, wow. But I think I praise the Lord for that. He said in his word that, you know, in the last days he'll pour his spirit upon all flesh. And I praise God for people who are willing, for the word of God says, whosoever will, let him come. And I thank you guys, each and every one of you all, for submitting your lives to the word of God and just speaking through his spirit, through the power of God. You know, when I think about this word trust, what would come to me, because I love how we're all speaking about trust, and what I see in today's generation is that a lot of us don't even know what it looks like to trust. Because we've been conditioned not to trust anything in life. We don't want to trust nobody. We don't want to put our trust in anything. The only thing we want to trust in is ourselves. And we have made ourselves idols. And we do things backwards. We do things the wrong way. We're not doing it God's way. And so it's so beautiful when I hear us speaking about trust. And the thing I really wanted to focus in on is when do we activate trust? When do we really need trust? We need trust when things aren't going how they're supposed to go. When we're being attacked in our life, we need to then stand our ground. And when we're standing our ground now, we have to trust in something. And the thing we should be trusting in is the word of God. But how can you trust in that word of God if you don't know that word of God? If you never spent some time, and I think it's been said so much already, people saying about the relationship that they've had with God. And I love that because we know that trusting in God is our refuge, that refuge is our protection. It's the thing that keeps us. So we need that. We need that word of God. We need to stand in it. Even when it comes to coronavirus, we won't even trust in God's word. There's saints who don't believe that God can keep you from coronavirus. I'm not saying that coronavirus, if you believe in God, you won't get coronavirus. We know that these bodies are meant to fail. God has said that. But God can keep us if we are trusting in him. And I just thank you all so much for just sharing your hearts and pouring out and pouring, and you poured into my cup, and my cup is now overflowing. I thank you so much. God bless you all.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you. That was Pastor Young Nehemiah Fulbright with his hat on fleek, and his drip of the anointing is off the chain. So shout out to you, sir. I had to say
that.
But go ahead, yeah, lady. That's it. Nobody else has called in so far. So back to you.
So, Robert, I want to do the call out our four ladies. And also solicit prayer for them, for two of them on today. We want to remember Sister Alice Fields, Sister Dorothy Curry, who had a fall. We want to pray for Sister Dorothy on today. Her caretaker, Sister Shirley Allen, has a lot going on her plate as well. Sister Allen takes care of three people. And being a caretaker is a difficult job. It's a challenging job. And Sister Shirley does it so eloquently. But we want to pray for them today. And Sister Lucia Priester, who had a procedure done some time ago, we want to continue to lift up Sister Lucia in prayer. Also, Sister Ella Priester, her two daughters, Josie Priester and Leola Collier. Sister Eartha Lee Aaron has a situation going on right now, and we want to remember her in prayer. Her two caretakers, Edna Moore and Jeanette Pontoon. We want to pray for them as well for their endeavors of taking care of their mothers. And so we want to pray for them before the show is over with, if it's okay with you, Sister Roberta. Back to you.
Sure. We definitely can pray for them as well. And
sorry, guys. We got one more caller that just popped in. So I will put them through if that's okay.
Sure.
All right. Next caller, 6219. 6219, you are live on the air. God bless you.
Well, good afternoon, Summers, and your guest. I just had to call in because, Summers, you keep saying, you know, you're through. Let me drop this mic. you know, once you say let's go, you can't drop the mic. You can't stop because you just beginning and you're always on track to bring the word. What a powerful conversation today, engaging with, you know, all your streaming. And that's what's important, connecting with your audience. So, again, very engaging. And when we talked about tithing, what I don't like is when, you know, I'm asked to cash out the pastor before I'm asked to pay my tithe. Mm. I do not like that because you are a man of God. So why are you asking me to cash out you first and then cash out my 10%, which is owed to God? So that really bothers me when I'm sitting in church or I'm on Facebook and they're asking back in that remark. So I just think, you know, like you were saying earlier, that sometimes we have to step back and look at what God has called us to do and making sure it is under his word.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for calling.
Shout out to Miss Michelle Roach. God bless you. Thank you for calling. She's our first time caller calling in to Saturday's The Fit. So God bless you. Thank you so much. Back to you, Chef.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that. That is so amazing. The things that we are learning. We're learning today as well.
Mm-hmm.
We thank the callers for calling and listeners for listening. We appreciate every one of you. And this trust in God is amazing. It's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that as believers we have to do. We can't do anything but trust them, because trust means that we have to, in order to have faith, we have to have trust.
Mm-hmm.
And the just shall live, you know, the righteous shall live by faith. Faith in who? Faith in God. So it's all about God. At the end of the day, he saved us.
Mm-hmm.
He delivered us. It was his blood that bought us. So therefore, all our everything, we owe it to him. Everything.
Yes, we do.
We owe it to him. And once we get away from him, We're out of order.
Yeah.
You know, we used to, that I had a pastor used to say, decent and in order.
Mm-hmm.
By whose order? Decent and in order is God's order, putting him first, seeking after what he wants. And what believers have to do is study to show themselves approved unto God. You have to study. When your pastor preach, he preaching, he give a scripture, go home and study. I've got to open up the word to you. What are you saying to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, make it personal. It has to be a personal walk. It's about your relationship with him. Because you know what? We're going to spend eternity with him. Not with the pastor. Not with Pookie. Not with, you know, not with
Ray Ray.
With nobody.
No,
Ray Ray. None of those. We're going to spend eternity with him. Not them. And when we learn that, he said, okay, we're not telling you to disrespect anybody. We're not telling you to disrespect the pastor. We're telling you, what I learned is, if my allegiance is to God, I'm going to respect everybody else.
Yep.
But if my allegiance is to my pastor, when he go off, I'm totally off too. Why? Because I'm following him. But my allegiance is to God. When the pastor go off, or Pookie go off, or Ray Ray go off, I can go to God. Because I see them going off, I can go to God and ask them to help, ask God to help them to get back on track.
Right.
That's why God is the one that, he's the center. He's the one that our eyes are supposed to be focused on, him and him alone. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all all your
ways,
all your direction, all everything. Acknowledge him And he'll do what? He'll direct you. Mm. Wait on him to direct you. If he didn't say anything, don't do anything.
Yes,
he heard you. The first time you prayed, he heard you. But he know when he's going to answer, when you're ready for the answer. Sometimes we think we're ready for the answer, and we're not. Because we don't have our trust. We're not trusting him for the answer. But he has the answer. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And my takeaway today is that if we be consistent in our trust, not trusting today and then when something messes up, when I see that don't work, I have to do something else, I have to fix it myself. No, be consistent. Trust him all the way. When you do that, he'll bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. And my take, one of the takeaways before I let everyone else give theirs is this. Psalms 40:4. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud. Trust in the Lord. Don't look to other people and other things. Because you know what? When you look to them, they're going to give you their version of it, of how they see it. But it has nothing to do with God, whose eyes are limited. But God is unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
He see it all. They only see what's in front of them. But he see what's in front, behind, underneath, over, all of it. So he can direct you the right way. You can trust him. So, Lorraine, give us your takeaway.
You want me to take away or you want me to go ahead and pray for the people? Or are you going to pray
for them? I was going to let Teresa close out in prayer.
Okay, then. That's fine. My takeaway today is what was forestated. God is not obligated to bless you in any area. He has not told you to give in. That's my takeaway.
Yeah. Pastor Chris?
Oh, Lord. I'm not
trying not to drop the mic.
I'm going to try not to drop the mic. Yeah, see, because this show definitely is powerful because you're getting different pieces of the meal. You're not just getting what I think. You're not just getting what Pookie and JJ think. You just ain't getting what Drill Sergeant, even the chef, and Hot Sauce thinks. See, we have to understand that our relationship and everything that we do in this life, once you said I do to Jesus Christ, it changed your world forever. Why? Because you decided to walk side by side with the King. See, the problem is when we get so intellectualized and so theological, we miss the mark a lot of times because we don't see that everything we are as believers is because of what Christ did. See, we try to outsmart, outwit, out-strategize. You cannot outwit, out-strategize a God that already knows your name, that already knows what you're going to think, that already knows that you're going to be about your business instead of his Father's business. Uh-oh. All right. CC, I'm going to stop. All right. We only got a few minutes left. So I digress with saying that relationship with Christ is everything. I don't care how much you have in physical aptitude. You have to have spiritual aptitude in order to break through these chains that we call life. Jesus is your refuge. I dare you to try him. And I yield the mic.
Tracy, we'd like you to give a takeaway and pray for the request Lorraine made with the caregivers.
Hey, amen. I, this is very, very, very loaded
topic, you know, trusting
it
God.
Is.
Because the old people used to say, keep living. If you keep living,
uh-huh.
you will come across a time where you're going to have to trust him. And you're going to be put in a situation where all you have is him. A time
Amen.
We can only say, call on the name of Jesus. So
mm-hmm.
my takeaway is, let's get back to the basics. Let's
yeah.
get back to the basics of teaching Christ, just teaching Jesus. Because when we teach that, everything else adds on. The word of God is a two-edged sword. It cuts off everything that's not intended to be there. You keep eating the word, eating the word, eating the word. Those things that you used to do are no longer familiar to you. You don't even want to do them anymore. So if we can just get back to the basics and get out of this, we have taken the word prosperity and we have abused it in the body of Christ.
Yes.
We
yes.
think the prosperity mm-hmm. means the stuff, and it's not about the stuff. Nothing tangible can get you to heaven, but everything godly and everything spiritual can. So back to the basics is my takeaway. And with that, we can bow in a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you once again, gathered in your name, dear Lord. We come lifting you up, dear Lord, and letting you know that we trust you. We trust you in all things. We trust you to do the impossible. We trust you to continue to be the miracle worker that we know that you are in our lives. Lord, we come now. For every panel member, dear Lord, that has poured out, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will pour back into them on today. Lord, this is not about a show. This is not about fame or fortune. This is about helping to get people free from bondage, dear God. We want to be used by you. We want you to be pleased with our service and with our sacrifices, Lord. We come now in the name of Jesus praying for the people who have had surgery, dear God, or those who are healing from surgery or due to have surgery. God, we know that you are the ultimate physician. We come now in the name of Jesus. We speak healing and restoration to their bodies now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you, dear God, for going to wherever they are. We thank you for putting your hand on the ailment and on the wound, dear God. And we thank you for making them whole now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, dear God, that every system, every organ, every function of their body will align with the word of God now. We thank you, dear God, because we have the power and the authority to call a thing that is not as though it was. So now we speak healing. We say they shall be healed now in the name of Jesus, God. We trust you, dear God, to do just that. And now, Lord, I thank you, dear Lord, for healing their minds, dear God. So many times we focus on the body, but God, now in the name of Jesus, that the minds would align with the body of Christ now. They will align with your word now in the name of Jesus, that they will be whole and they will go forth, Lord, in your word and in your knowledge, dear God, and be able to stand strong on your promises, God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for delivering the masses and setting those that are bound free, dear God, from the bondage, dear Lord, from the past, bondage from their childhoods, now in Jesus' name. We thank you for cutting off everything that's not like God, cutting it off at the root now in the name of Jesus. We give your name the praise, for you are high and lifted up. We glorify you. We thank you for being the omnipotent power and king and rule of our lives, dear God. We thank you for being our place of refuge, dear God. We thank you that we can come to you and we can feel whole and we can feel covered now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord, that when we come, we can be brand new, because only you can change us, dear God. And in that, we just give your name the praise. We thank you because none of us knew when we came and we said yes to you that the journey was going to be such a beautiful blessing, dear God. We thank you for the blossoming that we're doing, dear Lord, in your word, dear God, the growth process, dear God. We thank you. We thank you for the highs and the lows, the valley experiences, dear God. Thank you for when we're on the mountaintop, dear God. We thank you because no matter where we are, we know that you're there with us, and we give your name the praise. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us throughout this weekend, dear God, for covering us and protecting us. Our families and everything attached to us is blessed now in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we're blessed when we come and when we go. Now in Jesus' name, Lord, just teach us to trust you more.
Teach us, dear God, to have cast our cares on you, to have faith in you, and knowing that you are God and that you can. We thank you, dear God, for all that you're doing. Thank you for these blessings. Thank you for this radio show. Thank you, dear Lord, that it serves its purpose. Dear Lord, that it's, that we use it, dear God, to magnify you and glorify your name. God, these and all blessings we ask now in the name of Jesus. Amen and thank God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. We thank God for everyone. And Pastor Chris, you're going to let the band loose?
Well, we about to give God some praise. So
yes,
we'll see you next Saturday with another full course right here on Saturday's Buffet with Sister Lorraine Brown, Roberta Jones, Hot Sauce, Pitbull, the band, and Drill Sergeant with the chef. We'll see you next week. So walk with us, family. Let's go!
Somebody give God a praise! It's already good. Yeah. Whatever you've been praying about, it's already done. Give God an ordinary leap. Give God an ordinary run. Give God an ordinary jump. In order for you to see what you never see, you gotta do something you never done. I dare you to give God a praise you never gave him, and watch God move in your life. Somebody put your hand together.
PV Radio, Killeen, Texas.